Accession number 28760, Reel 1.
Worries at all. Can you tell me when and where you were born?
I was born at Bishop Stoughton in North Devon on the 18th of August 1921.
And what did your father do?
My father was a sawyer in a sawmill.
And had he had military experience?
Yes, he was served in the First War. Yes, in the horse artillery.
And was your family in any sense a service family?
I mean, no, I don't think so, no. Just him, that was all.
And you went to school. Where did you go to school?
I went to school at first we moved to Chudley. Then after 1932, we moved down to Totnes, Darnington Hall estate.
And your father was working on the estate?
He worked in the sawmill, Darnington Hall, yeah.
And how old were you when you left school?
14, yeah.
So that would have been in 1935?
Yeah, about 35, yeah.
And what did you do?
I worked in a small garage back behind the sawmill for a while. And then I decided to join the Royal Marines.
Why did you do that?
I had a relation in it. And we used to come down to watch Plymouth play football, and he used to tell me all about the Marines. He was a cook at Deal at the time. And I decided to join up, so there's something to do.
And when was that?
I joined in May 38.
Was there any, you conscious then of the threat that the Germans...
No, not at all, not then, no.
Was it a way of escaping the sort of working in a garage or...
Well, more or less, I think, yes. Just a change of life.
And going for a bit of adventure.
Yeah. Yeah.
So can you... talk me through the process of signing up and how that happened, of joining up.
Well, I did it at Plymouth, and I signed the papers at Plymouth. And I always remember the chap in the office, I said, right, you sign on every 12 years. He's a Queen Shilling. He gave me the Queen Shilling. And he said, you can go home now, or said, you can go out now. He said, come back. Later on, so I went out and went to pictures. And I left, I had to report to the Deal for training, recruit training. And I went to Deal for my training. And I was in a Deal from the May until January, training.
For the Marines?
For the Marines, yes.
Did you have a medical beforehand?
Oh, yeah, medical, yeah. Well, I think so anyway. I can't remember. No. We had an a small education test paper, but there wasn't very much to it.
And so you began your training. You were given your kit. What kind of kit were you given?
Oh, blue. Two blue suits, khakis, dress suit, boots, and boot brushes and things like that. And I remember, the first paper we had at Deal. We were marched down to the canteen by our drill instructor. And we were told to buy a tin of polish, bluebell, and a walking out cane. And a duster. And that was it.
A walking out cane?
Yeah, a dress cane, about long.
Which would go under your arm?
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
Tucked under your arm.
Yeah.
What was the training like? Was it tough? How do you remember it?
Oh, it wasn't tough. I wouldn't say it was tough. It was just more like learning discipline. What to do, drill, on parade.
And what were the kind of people that you were, who were in your draft with you? What were they like?
Quite good. Oh yeah, quite good. And we still more or less stayed together for quite a while. And as a matter of fact, it was 35, I think, I was in my squad, all together, and we all came from different parts of the country. Some was from Plymouth, Chatham and Portsmouth, East Division. And being at the Devon, Plymouth.
What was the division called? Can you remember?
Well, Plymouth was Plymouth and Plymouth, Chatham and Portsmouth.
But
depending on where you lived, you were put in that division. And being out of West Country, I was in Plymouth Division. And all the Marines in the squad, who was from Plymouth, went on the same ship together first time when we finished training.
So what are the elements of your training? There was a lot of discipline, a lot of square bashing.
Yeah.
What about marksmanship and the actual technical business of being a Marine? How was that?
Well, you did more or less, you just did the ordinary soldiering side of it, the parade side, and small arms training. But there wasn't much as regards soldiering.
And this was for 6 months you were in Deal?
Oh, yes, 6 months. And then you came down from Deal to Plymouth and did a 3 months gunnery course on the guns, big guns.
What kind of guns were they?
They were 6-inch guns up the long room at Stonehouse Barracks.
The long room, sorry, where?
Stonehouse Barracks in Stonehouse. Up the long room, what they call the long room. They had a gunnery school there. And we did a gunnery course there. And after you were at gunnery school, you were classified as a Marine.
Sorry, what kind of guns? These were fixed guns? Or
mobile? Oh, they were fixed guns, yeah. Oh, yeah. Just stuck in and do training with them.
And these were guns that would have been on ship afterwards? So
well, they could have been, but they were originally on a ship, I think, yes. But they were put there for training with.
What are your memories of that training in Plymouth at that time? This is in 39 now, isn't it?
It's a long while ago.
It's changed a lot.
Yeah, it's changed a lot since then. Yeah.
Can you remember any of the drills that you were taught to do?
No, I can't remember them. No. It's so long ago.
And had you been out on ships by this time?
No. I was when we finished our gunnery, we were classed as Marines, and we had to go to sea. And in the August of 39, myself and all the Plymouth Marines on the squad joined the HMS Newcastle for we were going to China Fleet Station for 2.5 years.
To Hong Kong.
China, Hong Kong, that running area for 2.5 years. That was in the August.
What kind of ship was HMS?
A cruiser, 6-inch cruiser.
With the complement of about 2,000?
No, less than that. I would think about 1,200.
And where was she based?
She was Devonport.
A Devonport ship.
Yeah.
So you're mainly Devonport men on the ship.
Yes, true, yeah.
Just wanted to go back to the passing out of, you know, when you finished as a Marine. What was the, was it a difficult test? Was it?
No, just paraded on the parade ground in her best blue suit. Rifles, marched up and down. Different orders, passed out that way.
So you joined, you were Royal Marine. What was the name of your regiment or
just Royal Marines.
Just the Royal Marines?
Yes.
And you were put on the Newcastle in Devonport?
Yeah.
And you took ship?
Well, we went on the Newcastle in August 39. And, of course, we were going to China for 2.5 years. But, of course, in September when the war broke out, instead of going to the China fleet for 2.5 years, we went North Patrol, the North Sea, on North Patrols.
Immediately?
Early part of the war.
The ship went immediately off to?
Scapa Flow.
And from there?
That's where we're based.
What about, how were you billeted on the ship? What kind of quarters did you have? Were you in hammocks?
Hammocks, yeah. Yeah. There's usually the Marines mess decks. Or between the officers and the seamen.
And how did your messing work? Did you cook for yourself? Did you go to the galleys?
No, it was the galleys. Yeah.
And you ate in canteens?
No, we had a canteen there. Oh yes, we had a canteen there. Yeah, yeah.
But I heard on some ships, one person of the squad would go down and get the food and bring it back.
Oh yeah, each week we detailed off is what we call cooks and mess, and it was your job to meet at the meal time, go to the galley and cut the food, bring it back, serve it out, and everything like that.
And pick up and take it all back.
And take it all back, yeah, and all the dirty dishes and everything, yeah.
And where and how would your would the system work with your where you actually slept with the hammocks? Would you have an allotted place, or would you just have to find a place?
Well, you found a place when you went aboard first, and you kept that all the time.
And that was yours?
That was yours. That was your particular area for stinging your hammock.
And if anyone else used it?
You'd get kicked out. Yeah.
What was the that atmosphere like between you and your, you know, your mates?
Very good. Very good, yeah. Well, you had to. It was only just a small crowd of us. They're amongst, you know, a small area to live in.
How many Marines were on the ship?
I think it was 84. On the Newcastle. I think it was 84. Of course, you were in numbers.
And, the job of a Marine then was seen as what?
Well, mostly it was cleaning parties, guard duties, and officers' wardroom attendance, and watchkeeping.
And wardroom attendance, what did that mean?
Wardroom attendants, waiters in the wardroom.
So how did you feel about that?
Oh, I didn't do it anyway. I didn't feel like doing that, no.
Could you volunteer for it?
Or? No, I didn't volunteer for it, no.
So what were your duties on the ship then?
I was on the new car, it was a bathroom sweeper.
Sorry, what?
A bathroom sweeper. Keep the bathroom clean.
Really?
Yeah. The Marines bathroom sweeper.
And the ship went out on patrols into the North Sea?
Yeah.
What can you tell me a bit about those patrols and what they?
I was on the loading number on the ACAT gun, 4-inch ACAT, and we used to do 4 hours on watch and 4 hours off on the gun deck, patrolling this, looking for submarines or warships.
And you were on escort duty, or what was the ship?
Sometimes, just on normal patrol.
And which areas did you go to?
Up in the north, up near the Arctic Circle sometimes. Green, right on the coast off Iceland, Greenland, all around that area.
Did you go to Norway?
We went to Norway once, yes. Once we went to Norway with them. Was with us, I think the Berwick was with us. Actually, my Berwick cruiser was with us as well. Yeah.
And did you land at all? Were you involved?
No.
In those operations,
no.
You were always...
I was at sea. We didn't land at all. Not off boats, no. No.
And how long was this period on the Newcastle? How long were you on the Newcastle?
I was on it from... Hang on. I left for Newcastle in towards the end of 1940. It was on the January 1941. I joined HMS Prince of Wales.
So
yeah,
all right. But before, I mean that period. Then, so you're on that ship for what, about seven or eight months.
Yes. Yeah.
Did you see any action?
Only action we saw on the Newcastle was against aircraft. Because at one time she was the ACAT guard ship in Plymouth Sound. She was just lying in the sound over by Jennycliff and protect Plymouth from air raids.
And were there any bad air raids at that time?
Oh, one or two, yes, yeah.
Can you tell me what it was like and what happened and how it worked on the ship?
Well, the only one that on the ship was as soon as the aircraft was... repel aircraft was sound. If you just attached the guns and went into action with anti-aircraft guns.
And how would you range the guns, and how would you...
That would be done from the main bridge, come down through the bridge.
And you'd set the fuses to go off at a certain height?
That's right, yeah. Off to a certain height, and then that was it.
What rate of fire would you be able to get?
I don't know. There's be three loading numbers, I know, one after the other. I also imagine you get it. Well, And then I never really bothered to find out, you know. It just kept going on and on and on until there was time for a ceasefire. And that was it.
How were the shells coming up from the magazine? They were
lockers, very used lockers around the gun platform. Yeah.
And these are quite big shells, 4-inch shells.
Four inch, long ones. The shell was on the end of the case. You ram them in. And I remember one time it was, we were off Norway, and we had repelled aircraft. And as the guns were twin mounted, and I was the loading number on the left hand gun. And the right-hand gun loader, he loaded his for me, and the fire on the right-hand gun fired, and the recoil of the left-hand gun caught me in the head of my helmet and threw me back over the side. Yeah.
So we're lucky.
Yeah, lucky about our helmet, Sam, because normally we have them on first 10 minutes, and they just get in the way. We should ditch him. And luckily, mine was still on.
Were you knocked out?
I was shaken, but not...
So you went back on to the...
Yeah, oh yeah.
What kind of aircraft were you firing up against?
Junkers and Dorniers, things like that.
And dive bombers?
Yeah, sometimes, yes. Oh yeah.
Which ones did you fear most, or which were the most dangerous?
Oh, I think the Stuka dive bomber is the worst.
And yeah. Did they come into Plymouth at all?
No, this is mostly at sea, this was. The ones at Plymouth was the high-level bombers, mostly.
And did you get any hits?
We had one or two off Plymouth, but not many that we know of.
And did you go ashore into Plymouth when you were...
Yeah, we used to go ashore. And we had shore leave until 10 o'clock. We used to go from Mill Bay docks. Out back to the ship at 10 o'clock at night.
What are your memories of Plymouth in the sort of late 40s? That was before the really bad raids, wasn't it?
It was before the bad raids. Well, I remember one night it was in the pictures, in the Gaumont. It was during the war, if you're in uniform and an air raid, you had to go undercover. And this particular night, we decided to go pictures. I was in the Gaumont, and that particular same night the Germans had raided the oil wells at Catdown. And we come out of the pit Gaumont about half past 12 at night, and the lights, it was so light in the street you could read a newspaper with the flames from the oil dump at Catdown. And we thought it would be over every night. Luckily they didn't, and the guy kind of got burnt about 3 days burning all the time.
And if you came out of the cinema at half past 12, you wouldn't go back to your ship so late, would you? Or?
Oh, no, I was in barracks at a particular time when this happened.
And the ship always stayed out. The ship didn't come into the dockyard.
It didn't come in the dockyard. Not while I was on it. No, it always finished up in the Sound.
And what about the officers of the ship? What were they? What was the relationship with the officers? Were they distant? I mean, was it a happy ship?
Oh, yeah, it was quite a good ship, yes. It was, yeah. Yeah.
Can you remember the captain's name?
Not the Newcastle, No.
So you go through the sort of to January 41.
Yeah.
And you're still doing, you're on the Newcastle based in Plymouth, but going...
Well, I left there in there towards the end of 41 because I went to inform the detachment to go... on HMS Prince of Wales, which was a new battleship, 14-inch battleship, which was being built at Birkenhead, Liverpool.
So when did you join? The
January 41.
January 41.
Yeah.
How big was the Marine contingent on the
Prince of Wales? 148.
And how? what were your first? Did you join the ship in Birkenhead?
Yes. Yeah.
What were your first impressions of the ship?
Bloody great thing. Yeah, any great thing to compare to what we've been on. Oh, yeah.
And it was modern, it felt...
it was brand new, modern and brand new.
And your quarters were better? I mean,
oh, they were better, they were bigger, larger living quarters, and the mess decks were larger. And the whole thing itself was so really large, huge.
And what about, I mean, you know, joining ship, kitting out, what do you remember of that?
Not a great deal, because you remember you carried all your kit with you when you left from one place to the other. The kit you were given when you joined up, and that was it. And you increased it, you know, over the time. But you had all your kit was your own all the time.
And so you go up to Birkenhead in the winter of in depths of winter in 1941. Join the ship.
Yeah.
Does the captain give you all a talk? How does that work? I mean,
oh, he welcomes us aboard the ship. When the whole ship company got together, because we took over a period of time before they all got together, and he just gave us a speech, cleared the lower deck, spoke to us, and then we went put to sea. Went to Scapa Flow, yeah.
And there would have been sea trials?
Oh, yes, trials, yeah. Yes. We had, for quite a while, we had the dockyard workers on the guns working, because the ship wasn't quite ready, even then.
And again, what was your specific job on the ship?
Well, luckily, in between leaving the Newcastle and joining the Prince of Wales, I did a second gunnery course, the QR2.
What does that mean?
Gunnery rating. And as the ship was brand new and so much work to do on the armament, they put me working with the ship's artificers, working on the guns. That was my job.
And what kind of guns did you train on then?
14-inch.
These are big.
They are big guns, yeah.
Mounted in turrets?
Yeah, four inch, yeah. There was two lots of 4-inch and one turret of a 2.
And so in the sea trials, you were firing, presumably, you were getting laying the guns. How did that all work? I mean, what was the process of working the ship up to readiness? Well, say, from a gunnery point of view.
Just continual gunnery practice.
Just move that. I'll just put that there. And okay. That means you've got a bit more slack.
So all right. Pull out some. Yeah. All right. Yeah. But my action stations was in the bottom in the shell room, down below, the 14-inch shell room. That was for surface action. But for aircraft, anti-aircraft action, I was on the pom-pom ammunition number on the pom-pom on the top of the turret.
On the top of which turret?
Y turret, X turret rather, the Marines turret.
Which was?
Aft, on the quarterdeck.
So the Marines had their own turret?
Yeah.
Was there a rivalry between the turrets?
Well, there was. Yeah, it used to be when they were practicing firing and that. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And can you tell me a little bit about what the name of the guns were? Do you remember the manufacturer or sort of what mark of gun they were?
Oh, I don't know. All I knew, they were just 14-inch guns. And the anti-aircraft guns was 5.25.
And these were pom-poms?
No, they had 5.25 turrets and pom-poms. And also Oerlikon guns on a quarterdeck as well. Yeah.
And you were proficient in all of these? You could work with all of them?
Well, I was mostly with the pom-pom and the 14-inch.
And when you were down in the shell room, what was your job there?
And then the shells on the shell rack to go up to on the trays, which eventually would take them onto a belt and it would go up to the hoist. Up to the gunhouse turret.
And when the ships were firing, I mean, you'd feel it right through the ship. What would it feel like?
Till the turret was down below, then the bottom. We always say, "Well, we're going to get out of here," and they happened. Yeah.
Are you sealed off down there?
Oh, yeah, you're all sealed in. You couldn't get out. Once you're in action stations, that was it. You were down below. And all you could rely on was what you could hear over the phone.
So the noise. No idea, and you'd feel the ship.
Oh, you'd feel the ship moving, real movement, yes. Yeah.
Were you ever inside one of the turrets when it fired, the big
one? No, I never. I was down below all the time. No. No.
And just the working up process then, you went up to Scapa Flow. How long did that take, that whole business of getting the ship ready for sea? And
well, it took about 3 months. Two and a half months.
So we're now in the spring of...
Well, in May... I was in May 31 that the Bismarck came out. I was in the Bismarck action.
Right.
With the HMS Hood.
Up in...
off Greenland.
So let's talk through that operation. So you're on the ship in Scapa Flow and then the ship's called out?
Yeah. Called out to proceed to sea to look for the Bismarck.
And you knew this is what the...
There was the Hood, HMS Hood, the Prince of Wales, and some cruisers, Norfolk, there, and destroyers.
And you go up towards Greenland, and what happens?
Well, she was sighted by one of the cruisers, and we... The Hood and the Prince of Wales engaged her, and within two salvos, the Hood was blown up.
And you were down below.
We were down below
in the shell room. Did you hear about the Hood disappearing?
No, not until after we came up. When after the action, when they told us that the Hood had gone down.
And so you were just loading shells?
Oh, we just carried on as normal. Just carried on.
And it was
on.
Very fast? I mean, the demand for shells was going at maximum speed?
Yeah, and when the Hood went down, it meant that our captain, Captain Leach, who was on the Prince of Wales, was in charge. And he more or less further lent it, did a sharp turn to port. To open up the range away from the Bismarck.
And was the Prince of Wales hit?
She was hit on a bridge. A shell went through the bridge, killing about four or five. And when it wasn't until after we got into Rosyth Dockyard in the docks, it was an unexploded shell underneath the rear of the ship.
In the rear of the ship?
Yeah.
But no one had noticed?
No one had noticed.
Good God.
And if it had gone off, there would have been two big ships gone down. There you are.
So, I'm just curious. So he turned to port, he moved and took the Prince of Wales out of range of the Bismarck,
yeah.
I imagine.
Yeah.
And you were down below at action stations.
Yeah.
When did you come up for the first time?
Oh, I forget now. It was... A few hours after we started engaging it.
And, I mean, when you came up and when you were told about the Hood, what was the reaction of the ship's company? It was...
Well, they're shocked.
Because you must have known people on the Hood, I suppose.
Oh, yeah, yes. There was 1,200 in the crew and only three saved.
And you, I mean, there were other Marines on the Hood that...
Yeah. But there was only three men saved off the Hood itself. I think it was a signalman, a seaman, and a midshipman were saved of the three.
Thomas Weber, Reel 2.